Good evening to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is the 5th October 2021, Tuesday class. We will be continuing our sharing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meaning, Teachings from the Adapted Verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. We are at page 434. Just relax body and mind. Man maintains overall attention, then we will off the light so that you can have your half an hour of awareness-based meditation. Just relax, body and mind, completely relax. Then silence your mind. Don't try to know, don't do anything, just silence. Maintain awareness. The first support, relax completely, body and mind. Second support, maintain awareness. Just aware, finish. Aware, finish. Don't think. No need to arise anything. No need to know anything. No need to do anything. Just relax and maintain awareness. The third support is maintain awareness for as long as you can. Until the awareness nature within stabilized. You have trained your mind. This awareness-based meditation become very simple and very natural. But if you have not trained your mind, you need to be patient. You need to maintain awareness for as long as you can. As long as you don't think, relax, maintain awareness. Then the mind will slow down, will quiet down. Sankara activity also, everything, mental hindrance all, they will slow down. Then they become very quiet. Then you can realize your silent mind, your still mind. And that is your awareness nature, which is also your true mind, which can meditate. That's why we call that the meditative mind. So the silent mind, the inner awareness, is your true mind. And that one is your meditative mind. So awareness-based meditation is to develop this awareness within, stabilize it. And use it to observe, to understand, to insight into phenomena. Or people say use it to meditate. So here, meditation is not like the usual thought-based meditation where you arise a thought and the thought is actively doing things, trying to meditate. No. Awareness-based meditation means you develop the awareness, stabilize it, and allow it to observe. Through that observation, it understands. And there is no one inside there to observe. Because the awareness nature is a nature, not a being. So it's just aware. As you are aware, you can see clearly how you behave and function as a human being. How your senses, together with your consciousness trapped inside, how they create interactivity through contact of mind with the sense spaces together with the sense data, how they arise the respective sense door consciousness. And when consciousness arises, if you are aware, mindful, you will understand what is going on. And through all this observation, understanding will arise, you will know who are you, what are you, and how you function as a human being. And through all this observation and understanding, you will understand the essential Dhamma of the Buddha, the five aggregate of form and mind. Why the Buddha say this five aggregate of form and mind is anicchang, dukkang, and anatta, the universal characteristic. You will understand them because you see them, you awaken to them. And the direct seeing, we are the awareness nature, is the awakening. So all this is what awareness-based meditation is all about. Then today I sent out a Jai Krishnamurti daily quote, which is very good, about the brain, or the silent mind, or about the quiet, still, tranquil mind, which is your true mind. So I will go through it with you all, so that we can have a deeper understanding of what this silent mind or awareness nature is. Okay, I will set the alarm for 30 minutes so that you can have your silent inner awareness meditation. We are at the second last paragraph. People, no matter their age or their intelligence, when asked about their memories of childhood, can recall in an instant events from decades before, as if everything were happening just before their eyes. The Buddha taught us that when we realize one teaching in the same way, we should sustain that instant forever and practice this teaching faithfully. We need to earnestly and diligently recite, transcribe, and never deviate from this teaching, so that we can forever keep the Dhamma that we have understood in our heart. Then we can extend our present resolve forever and always remain in accord with the Sutra. Look at the world today. There are many people who are promoting the Jingshi path of diligence, practice, and the Ziqi road of working with others. They do this by upholding the Dhamma, taking care of their own mind, maintaining a sense of contentment, developing wisdom, and walking on the right path. Thus, they can lead sentient beings to joyfully believe in and accept the teaching and help them find peace. So that's how they apply the teaching. So applying the teaching is to uphold the Dhamma. Always remember this. So when we uphold the Dhamma means we are mindful, we are heedful, we take care of our mind. Then we maintain complacency, contentment, develop wisdom, and cultivate the path. If you do all this according to Dhamma way, then consistently developing the wisdom and the understanding, then you can succeed in taking sentient beings across, leading them towards liberation of freedom from suffering. Then when they have this understanding, they will have joy to accept the teaching because they can find peace. They can find meaning in life. Okay, I will read on. Though they have not yet distanced themselves from worldly matter, they will still be able to manifest the great Bodhi path. Even though we are only ordinary beings in this turbulent material world, because we have encountered the Buddha Dharma, our potential for goodness and our latent ability will continually be brought out. So this one is very true. Even though you may not have perfected yourself to become Sammasambuddha, or some cultivator may think they are still not there yet because they just encountered the Buddha Dharma. They just learned some aspect of Dharma. But it's enough. Because this is the affinity with the Triple Gem. This is the beginning of diligent cultivation. So when you are able to do this, then you can set yourself to manifest this great Bodhi power. Just like what is being written here, though they have not yet distanced themselves from worldly matter, since they are still lay people, involving themselves in a lot of day-to-day worldly matter activity, they will still be able to manifest the great Bodhi power. Why? Because they encounter the Dhamma. So even though they are ordinary beings in this turbulent world, because they have encountered Buddha Dhamma, their potential for goodness, when you have the Dhamma, your potential for goodness is really, really tremendous. And their latent ability will continually be brought out. So this ability is the Dhamma way, and it will actually bring about a lot of potential for you to develop wholesomeness, goodness, kindness, charity, and many other virtuous things. Even though we are living in this world full of ignorance, we can attain infinite wisdom through our interaction with other people. After we attain wisdom, if we can take the next step of guiding sentient beings towards understanding the Dhamma little by little, we can lead them out to joyfully accept the teaching and devote themselves to the Bodhisattva way of path of serving the world. In this way, we will be able to demonstrate the great Bodhi path. So this is truly beautiful. So if you have developed the understanding of the Dhamma, you can guide sentient beings towards this understanding too. Maybe initially, little by little, no need to hurry. Then you can lead them to joyful acceptance of the teachings. Then they can devote themselves to cultivate the Bodhisattva path of serving the world. So in this way, they can actually develop the great Bodhi path. If you walk the Bodhisattva path by getting involved in Tsuchi's work, that is for Tsuchi volunteers and members, we can awaken to the suffering in life, which is the truth of suffering, the noble truth of dukkha, the first of the four noble truths. After witnessing suffering, taking action to relieve it, and personally experiencing this truth, the gratitude and joy we will then feel is called Dhamma joy. If we can share this Dhamma joy with others and help those who listen to teachings, believe and accept them, and form aspirations to put them into action, we can be like a newborn dragon prince, only 7 days old, who can already get a crown and bring down reins. Even though we have not yet been delivered, we already have the power to deliver others. So all these are just the sutta's way of explaining the Bodhisattva's cultivation. This potential is in everyone. So in all our relationship, we must have mutual respect. We must not take small matter lightly or look down on any living being. The world is filled with many inconceivable things, and though the principle cannot be seen, they are always there. This is true for humans as well. It is just that we have become entangled and covered by more and more layers of ignorance as we undergo cyclic existence in the sixth realm, Liu Tao Lun Hui. Thus, once we are born, we may ideal away our days, create negative karma, and miss out on opportunity to encounter the truth. However, some people have the karmic causes, conditioned to understand the principles, even at a very young age. This is true. According to the author, he said, I once saw a news report about a married couple with two sons. One son was about 3 years old, the other less than two. One day the mother went shopping, leaving the two children with their father. The father suddenly came down with an epileptic seizure and passed out. He fell hard against the wall and began bleeding. The two children could not wake their father up, but they calmly walked together. One boy called for an ambulance and told the dispatcher where their house was. The other boy figured out how to open the door so that the paramedic could come in. Soon after the ambulance came and took the father to the hospital, the mother heard the news, and when she arrived there, everyone asked her, how did you teach the children to call for help? She replied, I had no idea. I only recall that when my eldest son was a little more than 1 year old, he liked to play with the phone. So I taught him a number that he could call if there is an emergency. I didn't expect that a couple of years later, he would still remember it. This shows that intrinsic wisdom and Buddha nature are in all people. We must not underestimate child or children and only think of them as being too young, too naive and unaware. A children's wisdom is the same as that of an adult. We all intrinsically have the great potential of a pure nature and intrinsic wisdom. So this one is referring to our Buddha nature. We will read on. The next adapter verse. With great love, we make great vows. As we learn, we enter the path and head towards Bodhi. Those who read, recite, and uphold this sutra may not yet be able to achieve the ultimate realization, but they can still demonstrate this great Bodhi path and enable sentient beings to believe and accept it. So this is the ritual. To enter the great and direct Bodhi path, the path to enlightenment, we must first cultivate great love. Tsuchi call it the ta'ai, and make great vows. So as a bodhisattva, you must have great vows. We must seize the time we have to learn how to internalize the path. In addition to listening to the Dhamma, we must also diligently learn to apply it in our daily lives and our work, so that we can harmonize practice with principles. So this is a good way to cultivate. If you learn the Dhamma and you don't put it into practice, it doesn't serve much purpose. And you can never develop the understanding of the principles. Because principles need to be cultivated. Initially, you need to understand them, then put it into practice, cultivate it, so that it can become a part of you, so that you can have the embodiment of those understanding. The principles are the true Dhamma, the right understanding, the right view. So all this is part and parcel of proper cultivation. Then the author says, several years ago, Tsuchi began developing their own brand of instant rice. Read the notes. There's a note 55. We go to note 55. Tsuchi instant rice, a package instant meal developed by Tsuchi. Each package contained dehydrated pre-cooked rice, seasoning, and dehydrated vegetables. The only preparation required is to tear open the package, Mix everything into a bowl and add 150 cc of boiling water. Then after 25 to 30 minutes, the rice is ready to eat. The rice can also be rehydrated with cold water when no heat is available. So this one is a very good instant noodle, very versatile. The purpose of developing this product was to have conveniently packed meals for disaster relief. When people open the packages and add hot water to rehydrate the rice, the meal is ready to eat without any further cooking. This product is well suited for emergency disaster relief. Therefore, we purchased a machine that is able to cook and then dehydrate the rice for packaging. However, not everyone can easily operate this machine right away. People need to spend some time learning how to use it. Producing a bowl of rice may seem simple, but the process actually requires a lot of skill and effort. Therefore, we must not take anything in our daily life for granted. Everything requires skill, learning, and studying. All things in the world have their own uses. As long as we can mindfully make use of them, they can be of great benefits. In the same way, we must mindfully accept and practice the teachings of the Sutras of Infinite Meaning, Hu Liang Yi Qing, and instill all its principles in our mind. When we take the Dhamma to heart, we can sustain this present aspiration forever. This is true, because when you take the Dhamma to heart, you can sustain whatever aspiration that you have to walk this way forever. Thus, those who read, recite, and uphold this sutra may not yet be able to achieve the ultimate realization, but they can still demonstrate this great Bodhi path and enable sentient beings to believe and accept it. Therefore, we often say that the Buddha Dharma is inseparable from the world. The Buddha transcended the world only after awakening to an understanding of holy matters. He was then able to handle holy matters with a world transcending spirit. If we do not understand holy matter, how can we understand the way to transcend the world? In order to transcend the world, we must first go among people to realize the working of the world. The Buddha told us this was necessary for attaining enlightenment. Since we have accepted the Buddha's teaching, we must learn to practice them among people. After mindfully reading and reciting the sutta, we must always keep the Dhamma in our heart. This is most important. When we bring it out into our daily living, we then experience it and comprehend it in very specific manner. Thus, we slowly come to understand the sutra's profound principles. Although we have not yet reached the same state as the Buddha, as long as we continue to learn and continue to awaken while learning, through our practice, we will realize the truth. Then we can demonstrate the great Bodhi path to enable sentient beings to believe it and accept it. Okay, yeah, and the next adapted verse. We are born into this life because we are entangled by ignorance. So this one is very obvious. Though we cannot yet free ourselves from these bonds, though we remain completely entangled and enlightened beings, we can still enable others to attain wisdom and eliminate delusion to attain liberation. Only by listening with utmost sincerity, respect, and faith can we accept and uphold the merits of infinite meaning. Then it is just as if a Buddha were living in the world. So the first paragraph, maybe I need to explain a bit. Here it is mentioned we are born into this life because we are entangled by ignorance. This is only true for normal puttijana, living beings who are not enlightened. But for living beings that has already gone through the cultivation, realized the enlightenment of Arahantship and beyond, they are not born with ignorance. They are born with the true mind, the pure mind. Through their bodhisattva vows, they are able to create the causes and conditions for a form and mind to arise. And out of love and compassion for living beings, because of their first bodhisattva vow, that vow will have the affinity and the effect to bring forth the pure mind, that love, that compassion to take living beings across. So the pure mind can arise and it can condition another form of mind because the karmic nature is still there. So this karmic nature, as long as it exists, the form of mind can arise, but it needs a mind. Ordinary puttijana who are not enlightened, they die with ignorance, avijja. So avijja, vajja, sankara, it will trigger off the karmic conditioning. That's why rebirth is automatic. They take that type of birth via ignorance immediate upon death. The last thought moment, it conditions the next rebirth consciousness. But for bodhisattvas, they are different. They don't have ignorance. At the moment of death, they have already developed the wisdom and the understanding. There is no avijja. So that form of mind ceases. But because of the vow, the bodhisattva vow, and the understanding, then it can actually condition pure thought out of love and compassion to arise. Then based on the understanding and the vows and the aspiration, the causes and conditions will come together for the karmic nature to actually trigger the form of mind. So once this form of mind arises, then the new life can take place. So this new life, which is the life of a bodhisattva, they will come into existence. How they arise and where they arise, it all depends on their understanding. But for bodhisattva that are not so stable, that have just started to take the vow, plant the seed of bodhi and all those things, so the stability is not there. But because of the vow, because of the sincerity, the faith, the diligence, the understanding, and the perseverance, it will bring forth the causes and conditions for this being that aspire to go this way, to have the causes and conditions to take appropriate rebirth. Of course, initially, if they have not realized the enlightenment of Arahantship and beyond, then they can still have ordinary birth, but the bodhisattva vow can still be there. It can still be there. And that can actually stabilize it, so that later on, after they realize the enlightenment, the Arahantship and beyond, and then the actual bodhisattva rebirth consciousness can arise. like very naturally, automatically, then they know how to create the causes and conditions behind their arising, how they want to arise, under what circumstances, condition, who are their parents, and under the timing, the civilization and all those things. That's why this life, my nature, it knows, it chooses its parent, it chooses its timing, everything. And my nature like to come during transition period. And the moment my nature arise, the form and mind will have the DNA, the coding, the parent, the condition, and it will fall into place. Then the understanding, the aspiration, the vow, and whatever work he has done before, all this, they will support this form and mind. That's why the spiritual nature, the karmic nature, together with all the perfection and the understanding, they will actually create the causes and conditions for this form and mind to move. That's the reason why later on, after I connect back and realize all this, I can share with you all, technically this life, I didn't do anything. My form and mind just come and accord and flow, because everything is already set. All the understanding is already there. So I only continue the manifestation and the cultivation. That's why it's not what you think. But to reach this stage, to realize all this, take a while. It's not so straightforward, but can be done. So in the initial training, the courses and all things, the Bodhisattva also go through a lot of training. There are a lot of things initially, it's not easy. It's just like a Puttujana, an enlightened, unenlightened being, or a normal living being trying to cultivate to realize enlightenment. That itself is not easy. Is subject to so much variation, possibility, and deviation many, many times, not until the understanding arises. So it's all through all this trial and error you have to go through. But it's just like in the sutta, where you know the path, where you know what is path and what is non-path, you can avoid the non-path. Then when you go for the path with the understanding, you will progress all the way. You will never fall again. So that understanding is very important. So to reach that stability and the understanding, you must have cultivated stability of understanding of the Buddha Dhamma. What your mind is all about. The two aspects of mind, the true mind and the mundane mind. Then your karmic nature, perfect them. Then your spiritual nature, perfect them. Then cultivate to perfect yourself, straighten your views. Develop all the perfection of virtue and understanding. Then when you have all this cultivated, you will understand life completely, the secret of life. When you understand the secret of life, you will know how to live life. And that is what Dhamma is all about. Dhamma is about understanding the truth, the nature's law that governs life and existence. So understanding frees our mind, liberates our mind. Understanding is wisdom, nothing else. Not all the special mind state or psychic ability or special manifestation of mind. Those are byproduct of cultivation, secondary, not important. The important understanding is to awaken to the truth, to the universal characteristic, to understand clearly what is life all about. Who are you? What are you? When you understand yourself, you understand others. When you understand life, you understand the cultivation. So all these are interconnected, interrelated. That's why this line, the way my nature arises, nobody taught me. When I was young, I think about 17 years old, yeah, I'm not wrong. I think 1971, yeah, about 70 years old. I first came across the Four Noble Truths. Somebody gave me the book, What Buddhists Believe, Chief Reverend, our late Kesari Dhammananda, his first edition of the book, What Buddhists Believe, the red color thin copy. The moment I read the Four Noble Truths, I immediately was full of joy, like I understood this Four Noble Truths so clearly. Then straight away inside my nature, it just arise that joy and profound understanding. I straight away tell myself, that's it. No need to search. This is the truth that I have been looking for. I said, deep inside my understanding, no one, especially a being 2,600 years ago, can develop the understanding of what enlightenment is and summarize them into just Four Noble Truths. So beautiful. And I straight away knew this Four Noble Truths, they are the secret of life. When you understand this truth, you understand life, you understand the secret of life, and you know how to live life. All of life, mundane and super mundane, they are all there. Who in this world can have this understanding? I even tell myself at that time, even if I were to have this realization and enlightenment of this truth, I cannot summarize it so beautifully into just Four Noble Truths like the Buddha. So that's how that understanding came from the past cultivation. The impact is so strong. And straight away it knows this is it. No need to search. There is no other truth more complete and comprehensive than this type of truth. So because of that, since that time, I started to look at things differently. I stopped all my search because before that, immediately after my Form 5 exam, I think, together with a group of classmates, we were searching around for truth. We went to all the religions. But then none of them can really answer our inquiry or search. But I didn't look at Buddhism at that time because what I saw my mother did, the praying, the Chinese tradition, praying to the Kuan Yin, the deities and all those things, I thought if this is Buddhism, then no need to look at it. But later on, when I received that book, What Buddhists Believe, then it told me what my mother do are Chinese tradition, Chinese culture, beliefs, system. Nothing to do with Buddhism. Buddhism, the Buddhist teaching is totally different. Then he expounded the Four Noble Truths. And the moment I read the Four Noble Truths without the explanation, my nature knew, that's it. It's like I discovered the thing that I had been looking for. Immediately from that day onward, I never look at any other thing when it comes to religion and philosophy or whatever. That itself is so complete. That's why my life changed. After that, I really appreciate life and I like to study. And I was doing very well academically. Then I did my Form 6. Then during my Form 6 year, I was ahead of time in maturity. And my GP teacher knew where I wrote on essay. She wrote this remark, rather deeply thought out. He marked my paper. So there were a lot of things that were very surprising. And later on, when I came to the uni, straight away I came into contact with our late chief, Dr. K. Sridharmananda. In fact, it was the first day when I arrived at the university. Second day. The first day at night, somebody spoke to me and said, it was the first day, that night itself, is it? He asked me, I think this boy was my uni mate too, also engineering, but he studied mechanical. He's from Kuala Terengganu. I remember So Yi Chong. So he asked me, are you free tonight? I said, yeah, I'm free. So he took me to the science faculty. Then I saw a monk in robe, bald head, speak beautiful, perfect English, giving a Dhamma lecture, a very scientific Dhamma lecture. Then I was so full of joy when I knew he was the author of that book. So I approached him after the talk, looked for the address and the contact. Then after that, when I managed to get my transport motorbike from my hometown, I drove all the way to Brickfield to visit the temple. The strange thing is, on the very first day when I traveled on the motorbike, while I was approaching the temple, I heard the chanting, the morning chanting. The chanting sounded very familiar to me. And I was full of joy, and my heart really opened up at that time. Then I went in and joined the activity. That's how I end up as a devotee at the temple. I went there almost every weekend, every Sunday. And later on, I become involved in the tape recording. And I also attended Friday night talk by Chief Reverend. So the Sunday talk and the Friday night talk was a very, scheduled type of routine. Then in between, whatever activity we had, I will also join. So sometimes we participate in the Vesak Day cleaning of the temple, getting ready, a lot of things in whatever manner we can help. Yeah. Then there's also the all-night chanting, and there's also the Sunday school, the chanting, and many other activities. So that's how I started as a Theravada practitioner, devotee. Then I pick up the teaching myself. I like the library. I went to the library. Then I collected a lot of free books. Initially, it was a booklet, small booklet, mostly written by Chief Reverend. Then later on, I bought some Buddhist textbook. Or not really textbook, I think Buddhist book, written by various authors. Then I also received a lot of this free distribution book. I think there are some written by great master from Thailand, especially Achan Cha's book. Then later on, Achan Mahabon, Long Pontet, and many other famous monks. Then of course there are also other type of books, but Brickfield, we seldom have this Burmese book. The Burmese book, I think they were given by Vipassana Society. Then of course we are in the Buddhist circle and we receive them too. Then later on, when I was invited to Vipassana Center, in I think section 17 or 19, I forgot already, above Kanankari house, to teach the Dhamma in meditation class. I came to know a few of the Vipassana people who are very good. The late Uncle Tan, who passed away, he actually helped to compile and print a lot of these books, and he always gave me a set. Then Wun Chai, also Wun Chai, he in charge of that, the center, the opening, closing. Then there were a few more. Then Yun Chan was the one that invited me over there. So that's how it all started. Then I started to receive those type of books too. Then I read through. Uncle Tan was good, where he gave me the whole set of the Chronicles of the Buddha and a lot of the sutta, including Salika Sutta and all the other sutta. Then that I just flicked through, because a lot of the things that I understand, I read, so different. But I know that was what was taught, so we have to accord and flow. So I just kept a low profile, then not like trying to do anything that may lead to sensitivity or misunderstanding or whatever. Then I just continue my sharing, because my sharing was based on the three conditions, which is very good, and luckily I said that. So because of that, everything fall into place. Then I came to know what has been traditionally taught and shared by the Buddhist community. Even the Thai tradition, the Burmese tradition, later on also some Sri Lanka tradition. Then there are some books printed from Singapore side, I think, by some of the Sri Lanka monks and all those things, which are quite good books. And I bought them from Wakefield Library because they were available on sales, this small booklet, which are very good. So I read them. Then after I read them, that's how I know what the Buddhist community, they are sharing and teaching. Then when I start to come out and teach and share, it makes my work easier, because I understand how people approach the Dhamma. So because of that, I didn't like try to force the teaching or understanding immediately into people who are still so conditioned and so exposed to those style of teaching because of their conditioning and the way they have been taught. So I need to approach it tactfully, and through understanding, slowly, 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 I bring the teaching out, but in a manner where they can accept. Because I started off by saying, you come to my class, you do my class meditation, you can use any method, any technique, no need to be fixed method and technique. Whatever you do, I can guide you, I can train you. Then I explain to them what is important is to understand what is meditation. Because the method and technique never define the meditation. That's why I started with all this. And it helped me a lot, because all the controversial no more. Otherwise I get into big trouble. You know, people take side. Oh, they believe their method linked to their teacher. So if you don't follow their method, that is not Vipassana, they don't want to learn. You follow that method, then they say, yeah, this one I want to learn. So there are a lot of this type of, I should say, attitude among practitioner Buddhists and cultivator at that time. But because of causes and conditions that are very appropriate, everything slowly, slowly fall into place. Then we evolve out what we have today, or my Kayanamitas, our website. And now the understanding is so different, so easy. Now I can teach freely. Because everything can be explained and understood when you do it. So this is, in a way, a great blessing for us all. So now the teaching based on awareness-based meditation or mindfulness-based meditation has been delivered, and people can accept it, can develop the understanding. Then of course there are a lot of other things that happen that bring forth the causes and conditions until today. So all these are very beautiful. Because they are entangled by ignorance, even if people engage in spiritual cultivation, they may not necessarily attain liberation or gain wisdom. While we still have no way to completely free ourselves from entanglement, at least, we know the reason we cannot unlock our wisdom. Therefore, regardless of what kind of external condition we encounter, we must quickly look within our inside and reflect on ourselves. We must reflect on our unenlightened mind, which has been entangled by ignorance, so we can learn to prevent them from being caught up in external phenomena. We have not yet trained our mind to remain unaffected when our sense organs connect with sense object, so that we do not become attached to or afflicted by what we see or hear. However, as long as we let the Dhamma we hear enter our heart and then share it with others, I believe that even if we have not yet freed ourselves from entanglement, we can still benefit others. So this one is about the sixth sendo, about the unenlightened mind and how to cultivate. I think, okay, I will stop here. Then I will go to today's Yay Krishnamurti quote. Okay, I read to you the email. Dear Kayamita, below is a very beautiful and most profound Yay Krishnamurti daily quote on the silent or quiet mind for sharing by all. So this quote is about how our mind functions, how the brain is very important. Well, brain is also one of the sense organs for our thought consciousness. Well, our mundane mind or thought process, they arise through memory, where thought is respond to memory. So without the brain, without memory, there is no thought. So basically, we need the brain with the accumulated whatever you can call it, knowledge or understanding or whatever. From there, thought arise. That's why thought is respond to memory. So according to Jay Krishnamurti, he said, if we don't understand this, we cannot meditate. We cannot even start meditation. And surprisingly, although the word he used is so different, he approached it from the brain, his teaching is exactly the same as Buddha's teaching. So now you listen. Yeah, Krishnamurti said, when the brain is completely quiet, it is empty. It is only through emptiness that anything can be perceived. You see, the words are so powerful, so clear, so direct. So when he said, when the brain is completely quiet, it is empty. Do you know the meaning? Have you ever experienced a quiet brain? A brain that don't create thought, no response to memory, completely quiet, no activity. It's not easy. You can do it, as I do you. When it is completely quiet, without any activity or sankara, we call it empty, empty of noise, empty of sankara activity. So it's only through emptiness that anything can be perceived. Why? Because the brain is basically what the mundane mind is. When it is completely quiet, empty, there is no thinking, no sankhara, no mundane mind. That's why it's just that nature, that true mind, that awareness. That's why it's only true, that mind which is completely quiet and empty, that can see things as they are. That can perceive anything, the pure perception before the knowing. So if your mind is not quiet, what happens? It is preoccupied with the thought process. You are lost in thought, you are heedless. There is no clarity. You cannot be aware of what is happening within the moment. Well, your mind is either lost in thought, preoccupied with what you are thinking, or completely silent and just aware of the moment. That is what living life is all about. To experience the pristine beauty of life and existence is to be aware, silent, without thought. When you are completely quiet, silent, without thought, that is the present moment awareness of what is going on. So this understanding is very important. So I read the whole sentence again, then you understand. When the brain is completely quiet, it is empty. It's only through emptiness that anything can be perceived. Then he said, you need space. You need emptiness to observe. This is true. To be aware, you need this quietness, this space. Space between thought means the space in between where no thought exists. So this space is very important. That's why space is pure energy, wisdom energy. That one can insight into phenomena and awaken. That one can really observe, the silent mind observing, and that one can awaken. So you need space, you need emptiness to observe. To observe you, I must have space between you and me. Means both of us are aware. Both of us are completely silent. Otherwise, we cannot observe. Otherwise, you only observe the image of what your thought create for you. I must have space between you and me, and then there is seeing, means the direct seeing. So a mind that is crippled, this word crippled, which I mark in red, is very important. Crippled with what? Crippled with sorrow. You are sorrowful. Crippled with all your problems. Crippled with all the vanities that you have. With all its urges to fulfill what you want, desire, and crave for. And all your frustration. Caught in nationalism, ideology, and all those things. And he said, you know, all the petty little things of life. Such a brain has no space. It is not empty, and therefore is utterly incapable of observing, means meditating, understanding. So you cannot observe, you cannot be aware, you cannot find out what is going on. And when a mind that is being petty and shallow say, I must explore, I must seek enlightenment, it has no meaning at all. Because the truth is, it must explore itself to develop self-knowledge. Not whether there is something beyond itself, like seeking God, seeking enlightenment, seeking something. So when the brain is completely quiet, empty, and that demands astonishing awareness and attention. That's why your mindfulness has to be astonishingly strong. The mindfulness and awareness has to be very stable. So for the brain to completely quiet and empty, that demands astonishing awareness. Means you are fully aware, constantly aware, ever mindful. That is what heedfulness is all about. Your awareness and ability to be attentive must be very stable, astonishingly stable. That is the beginning of meditation. See? That's why without the stability of mindfulness, you cannot meditate. You cannot really awaken. That's why the daily mindfulness is a must. And this is only the beginning of meditation, which is exactly like what the Buddha said, Dhammapada verse 21. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die. Whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So if you don't have this type of brain, which is completely quiet and empty, and that demands astonishing awareness or attentiveness, means heedfulness. If you are not heedful, the Buddha said, you are as if dead. You don't stand a chance. That's why to be heedful is the beginning of real meditation. Like the Buddha said, the moment you are heedful, you are destined for enlightenment. Then it can see, it can listen and observe truth. Then it will find out if there is something beyond the measure that man had made to discover reality. Means reality and truth within nature can be observed and understood. You can even know who are you, what are you, how you function as a human being, and how all the nature's law governs life and existence function. All this become observable, and through all this observation, you develop wisdom, understanding. That's how you free your mind. Even the law of karma, you can see them, how they arise, how they condition you into negativity, suffering, misery, how you reap what you sow. So cultivator will be able to see all this, understand all this. It keep on showing it to you when you are cultivating. So all this is what Dhamma is all about. So Jay Krishnamurti, this quote is very beautiful, you can understand. Okay, so with this, I will maybe end today's sharing, because it's already 9:49. So, okay, we will stop here. We open up for meditation reporting.
讲这个 Jay Krishnamurti quote. Actually, sorry, brother, 我 on 下我的 video.
你开 WhatsApp 就看得到了。哦，我们也可以开这边。
Actually, 我想讲的是，after brother 的 sharing， 我就回想起今天我早上的一个 experience。就是早上我起来的时候，我就不知道怎样的去 click 了一个老子，老子的道的一个 video， 就是说，2500多年前老子所留下来的《道德经》，
yeah.
他是说，人法地。人法地，地法天，天法道，然后道法自然，
道法自然。
然后当我听了这一个什么的时候，我在那边哭，我不然就
哇，上帝很好啊。
然后我在那边哭，我就很感动的这个圣贤留下来给我们的这个叫什么，然后啊，我就然后我就下楼做我的普加。
哇，好好，因为这个这条道路不容易，
对对对，
好的，
对，就是 就是 after that 我做了我的 puja 之后，然后我就该上班我就上班，然后该做什么就什么。可是我发觉到我今天非常的静。
哇，沙丘很好。
就我也不懂得怎样为什么会这样，就整天哦，就好像你整个人的。The existence 就是很真实，就是很近很近很近，
Correct,
就是你很自然的，你就处于一个很近的状态，
yeah.
而且你就很清晰的知道你每一个动作，你所做的，我就想啊，今天怎么这样奇怪的？
那我再说 ，off and on， 那个 nature 会 manifest 出来给你有这个 experience 啊 ，there's this。Are the special manifestation that can arise to let you understand that the mind can be like that, that nature can be like that. Then it's like 道法自然 like you mentioned just now. 道法自然 means Dhamma is based on nature's condition. Then it is also based on the understanding that we need to accord and flow. We cannot resist. Then wherever there is resistance,There is no real Dhamma, like I always explain. So, 道法自然 the meaning is, Dhamma is based on nature's law. That's why we have to accord and flow with understanding. Then, like you say, that nature become very still, very quiet, fully aware, like very natural. It goes about moving and doing its duty, everything, but with clarity.That is what the transformed mind is all about. And it can arise and it can happen for you to see, to experience. But after that, gone, no more. Don't go and look for it. Don't say, ayo, how come last time I can have it, now I cannot? Because it will manifest when the condition is there. But later on, when everything stabilizes, then when your mundane mind collapses, then this state is always with you, it's always there.The nature is always there. So all this is part and parcel of the cultivation, the way that you can experience them. So what you have gone through is very good. Sadhu to you. 很好。
But you, actually, 在 last weekend, Saturday, Sunday, there's a lot of things happen. 就是很多事情，的发生，可是就很圆满的结束。
哇、wow, ，very good。
对，
就是一个 I won't say it's a very severe test, but it's a form of test that come to let you handle all this. You can handle all this very well means you have the Dhamma. Otherwise, you can't. Like you say, a lot of things happen actually.Normal people would be very like disturbed or affected, but you are able to resolve it very naturally and maybe I should use the word fairly easily. So all this is very beautiful. Means the cultivator already has the Dhamma. Otherwise, he cannot handle all this. So 很好啊，能够处理的。Worldly activity, worldly duty and life situation is the sign of Dhamma understanding is already flowing in you. Otherwise, you will become upset, unhappy, affected. So, all this, mainly continue.
Continue. 其实我有跟阿松提起过，其实我们学佛的核心就是在 Four Noble Truth。
Yeah,
因为啊、
yes.
因为四圣谛，以前因为 Brother 每天都 advise 我们要三转四圣谛。
对，三转法轮。
对对，而当下的我听不出来。
Yeah, that time.
对，
现在不一样了。
对，因为当下。我其实我英文又不好，然后就 expound 的 Dharma 我也听虽然是听了， 可是应该是没有去真正的 cultivate， 所以也没有的真正的一个 understanding 嘛。So, 那天就因为Sister Bo Qing mentioned 了吧，
对，
一个 H 跟一个 S Hasutra， 然后我就打开 然后我就不知不觉的翻到去最后一个那个 Three Learning of the Four Noble Truths， 然后忽然间我竟然原来这个就是我们学佛的核心，和我们 entirely 的 life and existence 就是 based on 这一个。如果你不能够了解这个苦集灭道，你的 entire life and existence 会很苦，
很苦，
因为你不能，你就是不能知苦而再从苦中你去走出来。
对。
可能因为我已经在那个苦里面打转了很久。
That one help you. Yeah.
所以当我知道什么是苦的时候，当我的
那个 first learning 你不用学了的，这是苦如影子，你已经知道了。So that first learning very easy to understand. So this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. So that understanding is very important. The understanding is real experience, not knowledge. So the Sanchon Falun, very important. First turning, second turning, then third turning.
因为经过那个就是四相，就是当我们在事情里面我们所经过的那个苦之后，然后我们理解到那个苦是怎么升起，
对，
然后从那边我们才能够下功夫的去真正的下清决心的去对去修，然后当我们去修行这个八正道的时候，我们就知道从中我们就能够就说证我们做证我们，所以就 realization 就是做证
realization part,
对，所以非常非常重要。
以前
Brother 就讲Why did the Buddha say that? 我
一直在讲
Brother
就我明白 That is the second turning, second turning, inquiry, contemplate, if like, 因为好像你想的那个四圣谛三传法轮， even the first noble truth is very important. The first noble truth, the Buddha proclaimed the first noble truth for dukkha, 那个 eight type of condition that can lead to suffering when you confront them without wisdom. So 那一段这是苦如影子， that is the second turning of the first noble truth. So this noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. So 好像你刚才讲，以前我 advise 你们， why did the Buddha say that? That you have to understand this first noble truth of dukkha. So the inquiry will bring about the wisdom. If I don't understand means when I go through life, I suffer without knowing that this is suffering. And this is the most dangerous. It's just like I always share. A fool who doesn't know that he is the fool is the biggest fool. A fool that knows he is a fool is at least not so foolish. So, 这是苦如影子。If you don't know that these are suffering, then you suffer without realizing that it is suffering, then you still blame others, blame yourself, and blame the world, blame God, blame everything. But not willing to develop the understanding of the reality of what this thing is. Because the first noble truth of dukkha is the reality of life and existence. All living beings, when you live life long enough, you have to confront them. When you confront them without the Dhamma wisdom, you suffer. 就好像你讲 you don't understand the three turning of the four noble truth, you don't know this teaching, the secret of life, you cannot live life, you will suffer. 你会很苦。That's why this three turning of the four noble truth is very important. Even the first noble truth is so important. Then like you say, after the second turning, after I know why I need to understand this noble truth of suffering, because I need to know this is suffering. So when I know under the second noble truth, there is a cause for its arising. And what is the cause? Sakkaya ditthi, self-delusion. That condition, grasping, clinging, accumulation, holding. That's why ku, qi. Qi is accumulation. The cause arises from accumulation. Our brain, our memory, we accumulate all this. The scars of memory, our phobia, our insecurity, our views, our opinion, our conditioning, our belief system. All these are very detrimental. Even our knowledge. That's why knowledge bind. All these are delusion, wrong. So when we know the cause of arising of suffering is actually sakkaya-ditthi, self-delusion that condition us to grasp, cling, and hold through memory. That's why we accumulate all this, and when we hold, attach, and cling, we suffer. Just like how you went through your depression. That's why you saw all this. So it's a cool reason. That's why the second turning. This noble truth of dukkha is to be understood. So you inquire, how can I understand it? I have to reflect, I have to contemplate. Why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? All is sickness and death is suffering. Then you go into it. Separation is suffering. You go into it. To be with people whom you don't like is suffering. When you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, when your expectations in life are not met, leads to suffering. So all this, you can see them. Then the final summary, in short, it is due to our self-delusion that condition us to grasp onto this five aggregate of form and mind that I call dukkha. This final summary is the most important. This is where the meditation is. This one will let us inquire, why did the Buddha say that? How can I put it into practice and understand it? First thing I need to do is I must understand what is this five aggregate of form and mind. From there I start. That's how I reflected, contemplate, and I realized the two aspects. Then I put to test. If I attach to this five aggregate of form and mind, first aspect and the second aspect, do I suffer? Then I realize suffering is there. You attach to the physical body, suffering is there. Attached to external form, suffering is there. You attach to your feeling, your perception, your sankhara activity, your views, opinion, mind state, so suffering is there. You attach and cling to what you are conscious of, suffering is there. Then I realized the Buddha's teaching is so precise, so beautiful. That's why I came to understand why this noble truth or dukkha is to be understood. So it's a cool wing to. Then the third turning say, this noble truth or dukkha has already been understood. Means I have understood what it is after I cultivate. I understood the noble truth of dukkha. The cause of arising of dukkha. The cessation of dukkha means nibbana has been realized. Then the cause, the path that leads to that cessation, which is namely noble truth. That's why I knew whatever meditation you do, if it doesn't bring you back to the Noble Eightfold Path, it's not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And this is so clear to me. But the Buddhist community doesn't understand this. They talk about Sila, Samadhi, and Panya. But when it comes to meditation, they talk about Jhana, Jnana, Psychic, and all those things. They never go back to Noble Eightfold Path. Hardly. So all this, the understanding that cultivator will come to understand. That's why for you to know all this is very beautiful, Alicia, Sadhu. So you see the beauty in the teaching of the Four Noble Truths, Sanchon Falun, which I always emphasize many times. And for you to have the ability to pick it up now means you have matured, your cultivation has matured. And from now onward, you will be able to progress even faster And the journey will have even more joy. Then if the next retreat comes, I think it will be beautiful for most of you. In fact, a lot of you will find it very interesting, very beautiful. And this time, a lot of Kayamita is going to become very different at that retreat itself. And the collective consciousness retreat proper, together with all the great beings, energy and nature there. The condition is already like more or less set. That's why my nature can feel. So all this, when it happens, is going to be very beautiful. So 很好啊, Alicia, Sadhu. You can continue.
Thank you.
Yeah.
其实很感恩能够在 Brother Joe 这里学习了 I think 九年
yeah, 九年了，有时
也很想跟 Brother Joe 道歉因为学习的过程里面就好像 Brother Joe 刚才念到的我们会被境外的东西所影响而 delay
yeah.
好太多太多的原因而让我们 you know
对发病的时候会的
对是可是
因为 the doubt and all those things 因为这些道路啊 means the Dhamma way is so different from the worldly way and 那个修行的方法 the understanding is so different from what is being properly normally taught你 singing 就是 you are not exposed to all those things 那个 help 到你很多如果你是好像 most of the other Kayamita who join like Yun Chandeo join all the Buddhist society all the various style of method technique and training the conditioning once 你 entangle 那个 actually 不容易 unravel 跳出来不容易的你是 luckily is a clean slate你就是经过那个16 years of depression 啊 That's why when it comes to suffering, no need to explain. You know inside out because you experience them. How the wrong thought condition, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, phobia, leading to depression, suicidal thought, everything, and bodily sickness, and disease. Everything you know, insomnia and all those things.And you have to go to psychiatrists and get all the medication, all those things in the past. That's why from there you come out. Then when you listen to this, because it is something of the new, but first time you are exposed to it and you happen to be like the lucky one. The moment you meet Dhamma, you got the real true Dhamma. That's why that one speed up the understanding.And your faith also help you. And 你的心态很好 you have kindness, you have goodness. Then when you understand the Dhamma, you change. That's why your karmic nature change. You inherit back your beautiful past. Of course, the initial years, you pay back your karmic, whatever that you had to go through. So all these are very, very beautiful.Then you and Freddy, you are very generous and very kind in your approach to human relationship and all those things. 你们也帮很多人 So all these are very beautiful Dhamma condition for things to be what it is. 很好。
是的 ，Brother，能够在怎样讲，就是能够在 Brother Dio 这里，我学习的过程，就是在比方说在那个 Eight Reality of Life 那个里面，我全部都经历过，也
yeah, 经历过，对，
真实过，自己走过也经历到，所以很 determined 的要。
Yeah.
苦得了
呀、yeah, 苦得了对要跳出来
对就是要修行这个八圣道那个八圣道就是我们的乐的 果了吗？
对，
所以
乐的果，对，
就对对，所以就是这样。
That's why it's called the path that lead to the end of all suffering.
嗯，对，是的，是的。
嗯，那条是道路，这是苦集灭道，那条道路就 lead to cessation， 嗯 ，end of all suffering。So 八正道 is the ultimate cultivation， the meditation as taught by the Buddha， and that is the one that lead to the end of all suffering。So all this understanding are very beautiful， very very important。嗯。很好啊，不错啊。九年有这样的成绩很厉害的了，我跟你说。
我是很
厉害。在外面啊，二十年、三十年、四十年都找不到路，不要讲有这样的成就，路都还没有找到。什么是四圣谛，什么是三转法轮，都还不能了解。A lot of them are using Dhamma knowledge, thought-based meditation.There is no penetrative understanding because this teaching is not easy. 你一定要有那个善根to receive all this teaching. Affinity, the triple gem, then 行善. That's why cultivation is about avoiding evil, 脱离一切苦，行善. Then 修智慧。Purify the mind.
对，那个 talking about 智慧真的是太重要，太重要。
那个是最重要的。
没有智慧，不能先起初不要讲度他，度最主要是要自度，然后
呀，自度，然后才度他。
对。
所
以现在我发的菩萨愿里面。
哦，那个很重要。
对，是因为。之前发的菩萨愿有一点好像，好像不是很认真。
对对对，
最近我已经很认真。
实习那个时候还没有到那一段的 ripening 嘛，现在的 understanding ripen already， 现在发的愿就不一样了。very serious from the nature one. I remember last time when I make the vow.I also very surprised how come deep from inside one, no? You just make the atitan, no? You just want to go that way, no? And very, very firm one, like nothing can change my mind, one, no? 就是那条道路, That's why as you cultivate, you will know all this will happen, no? And it's so beautiful, and you can go so deep into that Bodhi mind, that nature inside.And it can really manifest. Then 那个很厉害那个because it's our nature. Our nature is very, very unique, very powerful. It has that capacity, the potential, and the wisdom, and the understanding, and the perfection to enable all this to surface. That's why 你修这条道路它现出来的东西不一样的normal people cannot understand. Only the cultivator or the way can understand. And how it happened, how it tests you, and how it actually lead to all the understanding, the perfection and the result. All this can only be known to the cultivator or the way. The normal people can only read about it through book knowledge, but they don't know what this thing is. So all these are very beautiful. So for you, salute to you, Alicia. You are actually 华校了And you.
是，本来就是我英文程度很差，我还记得起初去你的 class 每天要查字典的。
对对对，我还记得是哦。That's why you actually progress a lot. You are very determined. 因为你经过那一段啊 ,16 years of depression, actually, that one create the condition. And 你这一次的 cultivation, you had to go through that one. But that is the one that condition you to look at Dhamma, and it make it easier for you to look at Dhamma. Even Eckhart Tolle 跟你一样的 ,Eckhart Tolle also, he was in depression. he left his PhD, he didn't finish his PhD, because he couldn't take it. He saw a lot of things inside his own mind and brain. Then he, in the book he wrote, he said, I saw how the churches, the pastor, everybody, all these people, they lie. Then how all the lecturers may have Nobel Prize or anything, but their life is really actually miserable. They don't have the understanding of life. Then he looked himself, he realized he also have a lot of this nonsense. He said he also lied. He also deceived and cheat. Then suddenly, in the deep thinking process, he suddenly had an understanding. Inside, trigger. He said, wait. You say you lie. Who is that you? Then there's another one that know with the conscience that he's not supposed to lie. He's supposed to be the one with the conscience. Then he realized there are two of him. Is it? So the moment he realized there are two of him, suddenly something happened. We are from his past life cultivation. Then he went in. Then the mind actually went in. Located the gateway and he went in. Then after he went in, for a period of time, how long he didn't mention, he was in his room actually. Then when he came out, his whole personality changed. His outlook of life changed. His awareness, the power of now and present. That's why he wrote the book. Last time he said in that room, he never saw all those things. The moment he came out of it, he said, he saw the beauty of the light shining in and out. Last time he never paid attention to all this. He was caught in the thought process, the thinking, like Jai Krishnamurti quote. The mind was never silent, never quiet, preoccupied with all the negativity of mind state, the frustration, the misery, the unhappiness, the sankhara activity, the vicious, the opinion, the condition. So all these things were haunting him. That's why he don't have space. He don't have that silent, the quality of mind that is quiet, silent, aware, to observe, to understand. Suddenly after he came out, he connected, his mind transformed. The awareness saw. He said everything is so pristine, so beautiful, like he never saw them before. It was the first time. That's how he changed. Then after that, he just sat in the park. He didn't go to lecture, he didn't go to school, he didn't do anything. But his mind was so free, so beautiful, and he was so joyful. And people start to talk with him. That's how he started. So all this can happen. What I want to explain is, your case is quite similar to his case, except he approached it from a European type of experience, quite low one. So yours is Asian one. So yours, you have to go through the Asian way of depression and all those things. Then you need the number to open you up. For him, he has cultivated before, and he choose to come this way. But he come to different. He also know. He didn't explain it in the Bodhisattva way and all those things. But he also know. He said this segmented life. You know, he also talk about it. Then he also mentioned. He said, if you choose this way, he said, when you first come, the first, don't know how many years, he also the first 20 over years, I think. He said, you have to stay in this body with ignorance and delusion, without the understanding, and go through depression, the suffering, everything. He said, that is the only part you have to pay for. He said, but to me, it's not pay for, it's all the conditioning from the past, and your way, different people, different. Because all these are coming. So all the understanding is there, and it can be understood. That's why your way and his way, I find some similarity. We are both of you need suffering to come out of it. But for him, it's because he cultivated before. That's why he can went in straight away and the thing manifests and it happens so fast. That's why different people are different. For you, you need to wait for your timing, your conditioning. You have to pay your coming debt. Then after your coming debt is more or less over, you ask for forgiveness, everything, the repentant. Then you cultivate, you make aspiration for causing, and then you connect back to the way. And now it's beautiful because the sasana is there, the bodhisattva way is there, and all this can help Kayamita, especially people like you, to really go all out to make the bodhisattva vow and the aspiration and to move. Then from now onward, your way, your cultivation will be firmly secure. That's why I say, this is what Kayamita need to do. Make sure you vow, you aspire, plant the seed of Bodhi and seriously stabilize this understanding so that life after life, whenever you arise, whether you choose to come or you have to come, this understanding is there. Then whether the sasana or no sasana, your cultivation will be there. Then you can modify, improve on it through all this understanding so that when you come again, you don't have to go through what you're going through. You don't have to encounter suffering and misery before you turn to the Dhamma. That's why for my own case, I realized, I look back, how come so strange? I don't have problem to look for Dhamma. I never have that. Most people after going through life got problem only turn to spiritual Dhamma. No, for me, I don't have that. From young, I already knew I'm different. Then when I was in Form 5, I searched, my nature searched. So I don't have problem at all at that time. At that time, I was just a kid, a student, and doing very well in my exam and all those things. But the search is there. Oh, I don't have to go through any of all this. Then everything just falls into place. Then things will happen. People will come to me, the guy will come, the book will come, teacher will come. Everything come. Then after that, after 1989, all gone. No more. Then nature move. Then it connect. Then it went through the transformation. Then it understood what happened. Then from there, the nature come back. That's how my nature come out and share. And even after 89, when it connect, until 2004 was 15 years, I didn't do anything. Because maybe like the sixth patriarch, it knows you have to wait for causes and conditions. That's why for me, I know if there is no appropriate causes and conditions, my nature will not come out. Even after Yun Chang came and make the request, 3 times I rejected. Normally, 3rd time people accept, 3 times I rejected. Then after I rejected her for the 3rd time, inside my nature, suddenly something came up and told me, hey, it's time for you to come out. The condition is there. Then I reflected. Then I inquired. I said, what about all those things that I am worried that people who don't have the understanding may get entangled with the karmic repercussion? My nature didn't do anything, but because the way they react to what I teach and share, which I knew is very different from what is commonly taught and normal people cannot understand. So my concern is just that. Then inside told me, you can set condition. That's why I reflected on them. Then I came out with the 3 conditions. Then I realized with the 3 conditions, oh, okay, I can come out and share. So that's how all this unfolds. Then all these are very beautiful understanding that my nature can share and pass down so that in future, more and more people who go this way can improve on it, evolve and develop it further and further and further. And the Bodhisattva way also, my nature came this line, I improve on it. I try to like mitigate what people could not get as the result, because it, my nature realized during sasana no problem, but once sasana no more, a lot of cultivators, even bodhisattva, they get lost for a very long period until the condition arise again through another window, which is the next sasana, and that can be very long, like the opening statement of the Mahayana Sutta. For 500 million eons, you may not even encounter this true Dhamma. So to encounter them is very rare. So all this, they actually form the basis of why Maitreya came to 208. Maitreya's nature requested my nature to share the true Dhamma and all this. Yeah. So all these are very beautiful. So sadhu, Alicia, for bringing out the condition for this Dhamma to be shared, and also my nature's condition to be shared, so that more and more people can have the understanding. Sadhu. 还有就是我想说
昨天我在做我的最后的回向集的时候，我在 recite 那个元宵三章诸烦恼，
哇，
那个
愿
得智慧真明了，五愿罪障悉消除，世世常行菩萨道，那个是从我的心里面。
Wow, very good. This will become your miscellaneous vow or additional vow, which is very important. Oh, very important. 你 recite again?
其实我们马哈亚那的 way of reciting,
我太太都会了。他在那边 recite, 还要叫他来 recite。
对，你是
就选
no。
他是叫什么？刚才你讲什么？除什么？
元宵三藏诸烦恼，三藏就是我们的贪嗔痴。
呀！
对，以前我 recite 的时候，我好像不知道，现在我知道。
哇，晓得，很好。就好像那个当家在三宝寺啊。教我们 recite 那个ask for forgiveness on her, I remember her, 贪嗔痴慢的时候
对，不然就对，那个 recitation, then after that, 我 recite 完之后，我讲，哎，怎么不是从我的嘴的，是从我的 heart
的 yeah,
那边跑出来，
因为除烦恼啊是最重要的，
对，
你能够除烦恼啊，就是开悟了，
对，
做那个愿力啊。很重要，因为烦恼是那个三章现出来的嘛，贪嗔痴啊 ，greed, hatred, and delusion， 很好啊，那个哦 ，Mahayana is a common practice 啊 ，this one is good， this one you all should add in as additional vow，
是的
，but my Aditan already take care of it， because my Aditan all the what we call。Ask for forgiveness from the triple jam, from all beings and all things. So to break coming obstruction on that one, I use that to take care of it. But yeah, this one is also good because 除烦恼, I realize will help cultivator. Because a lot of cultivator cannot go into the cultivation because of their worry, their 烦恼. That's why Mahayana, the Pure Land sect, they have this sutra.They say 烦恼障所知障 means your worry is your obstruction to cultivation. Then knowledge is also an obstruction. Everything you come to know is knowledge. 所知障烦恼障 So all these are very beautiful teachings. 很好啊，沙丢。
Radio 这个佛法，实在是对我的人生改变太大太大，我真的是很感恩。
对，沙丢。
没有遇到 Radio 没有佛法， 我就不是现在的我还在次要的过我的生活。所以
我们要感恩三宝。
是的，感恩三宝，感恩佛菩萨，感恩所有在我身边出现的每一个人。
对对对对，
他们都是来度我的菩萨。
对对对对，
还有就是我想说的最后就是last but not least, of course, 我当你在处于那种很清安和静的境界，和你每次有烦恼的境界， of course, my brother still said, the wise one will still choose to be.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
就说清安就是 quiet, silent, and you know, be at the moment, instead of 每天在那个 Sankara 里面
yeah, 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 yeah.
再把 you know, 因为 Sankara 不会带给你什么的。
那个是 heatless living.
对。
The other one is heatful living.
所以
你的 mind train 了啊，它就是 always ever mindful, constantly meditative, 它是 heatful 来的，它不会乱七八糟 create sankara, 去乱想东西了的 heatless thinking 啊，那个是烦恼了，烦恼障啊，但是你消烦恼 is very important, very beautiful.
The brother Dio, 感恩啊，还有 Thank you, Bama Suri nominating me, 感恩全部能听我讲佛法，还有 brother Dio 的 advice, Thank you, 我就讲到这里，谢谢大家，晚安。
阿弥陀佛。Thank you so much, 阿弥陀佛。Yeah, we all rejoice, let us rejoice. 萨丢，萨丢，萨丢。
刚才 Sister Alicia 讲的那个愿消三障诸烦恼
啊，杀掉
智慧真明了
哦，杀掉
愿罪障悉消除，世世常行菩萨道
哦，杀掉
我们在法鼓山的时候
有念
法师就教我们，凡是有发了愿行菩萨道的，那个就是我们的每天的功课，就是
对
像是我们的回向，也是我们
对对对 transform merit and also your additional vow, additional aspiration.
Is a aspiration. 那个三障哦，指的是贪嗔痴，它是业障、报障和烦恼障 ，all the obstacles.
Yeah 啦，从贪嗔痴起来的啦 ，all the obstacles.
就是我们的 coming obstacles.
Yeah.
我们的那些 greed, hatred, delusions 的
你 repeat
three types of
obstacles. No, repeat. 第一个是什么障？
业障。
业障。OK, coming.
报障。
什么是报障？
报应的报。报障。
报障啊，报应的报。
那个 conditioning 啊，就是我们现在的 conditioning.
OK, the third one?
The third one is 烦恼障，就是那个烦恼障是就是从贪
嗔痴
升起来的。
All this obstruction actually came from the evil roots. So what they teach you to break is very good. These three types of obstruction, 烦恼障 is very difficult to break because a lot of people fail to understand that fear and worry is an obstruction. Well, when they are caught in delusion, they cannot see this. So that's why they have to make vow to break.But all this come from karmic obstruction, come from all the various type of karmic obstruction. So the karmic obstruction, you have to ask for forgiveness from triple jam first. That's why my yellow card I put there. The triple jam is the most important. But that one, once you kena obstruction there, you don't ask for forgiveness, very difficult to clear.But the moment you ask, the beauty is the triple gem is automatically forgiven. That's why you have to. Then the other one is from all beings. From all beings. That one is very important too. So all this type of understanding, the cultivator of the Bodhisattva way, they will have the understanding. Okay, the first one is,additional vow to break all coming obstruction, to bring about the way. That's why I put the title as to break all coming obstruction to bring about the way. So first one is If by action, speech, or thought, whether knowingly or unknowingly, we are ignorant, delusion, and heedlessness means the three evils, that this nature of mind had offended or done anything wrong, or to the triple gem, Buddha, Dhamma, and the Sangha, this nature of mind would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness. Then the second one is, whomsoever from the distant past until now, whether knowingly or unknowingly, that this nature of mind had caused any karmic negativity, misery, suffering, or misled, this nature of mind would like to sincerely ask for forgiveness from them all. May my sincere request for forgiveness be accepted by all, so that all this karmic obstruction can be amicably dissolved, or watered down, or lessened, thereby enabling this nature of mind to continue with its cultivation to realize the true Dhamma with ease. So this one, amicably dissolved, is very important, so that this nature of ours can continue with its cultivation to realize the true Dhamma with ease. So this last part there at end is very important. So this one will help a lot of people. Then number four, this nature of mind vow to repent, and from now onward, vow never to repeat all this karmic negativity born of greed, hatred, and delusion by following the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, do good, and purify our mind. We are striving with heedfulness to keep the five precepts and cultivate the Buddha Dhamma diligently, so that it will never violate this law of karma again whenever it arises. Then finally, by the power of whatever wholesomeness or merits that this nature of mind has cultivated since the distant past until now, may arise the causes and conditions for this nature of mind to have the ability to overcome all other karmic obstruction or obstacle amicably again, so that this nature of mind will be able to gain back its life, life of the life, to walk the path of Dhamma, to fulfill and realize all its bodhisattva vow. So all the other karmic obstruction, we may not know. There may be some which we didn't cover. That's why the fourth one is to cover all those. And the additional miscellaneous vow is to enhance the cultivation. So there are four. So all these that I put in the yellow card for you, they are very important. So if you recite them, they are very complete. Of course, the Mahayana one also is good, is traditionally practiced. It's just like the Buddha's five precepts, eight precepts, the monk's precept, and all those like Kayena Vacha Chitena, the general asking for forgiveness from triple gem. And the Imina Punyang Kamina invoke power merits to avoid foolish without the wise, so the enlightenment, the healer. So all these are important. That's why the Buddha actually formulated them. But the yellow card that I gave to you all is a very complete refinement of what my nature did after all this long period of cultivation. My nature came up with all this to speed up the cultivation, to develop the bodhisattva way differently. And it's only on one sheet of paper, not difficult. So if you can have the understanding, if you use this and continue to determine strongly with the faith, the sincerity, and the perseverance to go this way, you will progress and you will become very beautiful. So sadhu to all. Yeah, thank you, Pramasari, for bringing this up, which is very good. Yeah, sadhu. Anything else?
那就还有一个问题就是，什么？ 你刚才那边你给我们那个 yellow card 里面的那个第四个 asking for forgiveness 啊， we come back life after life， does it mean that 那个 life after life， does it mean that life after life we make aspiration to come back as human beings？
Not necessary human being， 因为菩萨道啊， that's why to fulfill and realize all our bodhisattva vows， all its bodhisattva vows。 So 这个是菩萨道的那个 manifestation, life of the life, the form in mind that you take to come back. Because this one, to enable us to gain back our life, life after life, to walk this path is not easy. Well, during non-sasana, you can get lost, delayed. But because of this vow, it can help bring you back. Bring you back. Then this understanding also help you to have the causes and conditions, so that even non-sasana, you can have this teaching, this understanding, and you will be on the path. And you will be able to walk the path of Dhamma to fulfill and realize all your bodhisattva vows. Clear? 明白?
Yeah, thank you, Radio. 明白。谢谢 Radio. 感恩。
So, first and cut 很重要, huh? 以前, I remember, so, Pamasuri type出来了, advice of one print, which is very good. There are a lot of feedback from Kalamita, 跟我讲, 一张card, fold起来, very easy to keep, which is very true. The piece of paper will get rot or problematic after a while. But with the card, it's very beautiful. Then you can take a WhatsApp photo, keep it in your handphone, easier, huh? Without the physical card also, you can recite it. Then for like PG, they all no need card also, so you can recite already. Oh, this is very good. She just took that vow for 2-3 months ago. That's why when you are serious, a lot of things can happen. So, Sadhu, we better end, late already.